Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to part two of Private Parts. This is the episode with Sorrel. Enjoy. So, University Bedford.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
look at that. Oh, he's a pro.
Here we go. So, acting, presenting.
Yes.
You learn how to be an entertainer.
Yes, yes.
And you then leave university.
Uh-huh.
What happens then?
I leave university, go to London, I study for another year.
Yeah.
And then I get an agent, an acting agent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm going to make it big, baby.
The big city, the lights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, here I go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where do we start?
I get an agent. I did one ad.
Is your agent then still now?
No. He dropped me like a sack of potatoes. No, no.
Was he actually an agent? Was he just... He just came up and was like, I'm going to be an agent.
No, he was a genuine agent. And he also, like, represented some of, like, the guest speakers that came to, like, our...
Wow.
Yeah, so, like...
Oh, it's legit.
Legit.
It's amazing.
I booked an ad. I did a Dreamgirls audition. Bombed. Badly. Another story for another day.
No, it's a story now. It's a story.
Jamie, don't you dare
do it. It's 100... Wait, so hang on. So you went to an audition for Dreamgirls. Walk me through it.
Oh, this God. What have I done?
Walk me through it.
For context. I am not musical theatre trained. Okay?
It's like me with comedy. You had the confidence, though.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not musical theatre trained.
But you had your slab.
And I was ready. to go. Slab and tap shoe ready.
And you had your Tupperware pasta and you were ready to rumble.
I said, Dreamgirls will see me and I'm going to get a standing O. That's what's going to happen. Winning. I get this audition, comes through and he's like, there's an audition for Dreamgirls. Mm. And, you know, you're an actor who can sing in tune. I grew up in church. I can sing like in tune. Mm. I think you should go for it. And I was like, cool. Like, I've also have a problem where, like, I do think I'm able to do everything. Yeah. So I was like, cool, absolutely. I arrive. Immediate red flag. There are people stretching in the hallway. I thought to myself, well, might have girl bossed a bit too close to the sun. This is crazy. Everybody's literally stretching.
Do you stretch as well?
Well, I had to. You've got to commit to the role.
Did you lean over and go, what are we stretching for?
What's happening? What's happening? No, I walked in, took off my coat, started stretching. I was like, I'm going to stretch. Then this like really charismatic choreographer comes out and he's like, okay, girls, we're going to call you in 10. I'll teach you the choreography and then we'll do it. I say, choreography. I said, no, I was told. No. I was told I can sing in tune. I can read signs. I said, no one mentioned choreography or dancing. I said, hold on. I said, someone left me off the email thread. I don't know what's happened, but no one said anything about choreography. So I'm trying to text my agent like, hey, there's choreography. I don't think I should stay for this because I'm going to make a fool of myself. He's not messaging. He's not calling.
Because he has other jobs.
he's busy. He's busy. That's not my problem. I got you the audition. You do the audition.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. So I've now been seen. I can't walk out. I'm not a failure. Mama didn't raise a quitter.
I love that.
I walk in head held high.
Yeah.
I learn this choreography. Mm. Learn is a strong word. Now, can I just say, if I said to you, okay, Jamie, I'm going to teach you a dance, and then I stand here and you stand next to me, and then I say, okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, parle-barré, Jean Baron, and you're like, what's a parle-barré? That's exactly how he taught the dance. There was no move your hand to the left and then back and then spin around. It was like, parle-barré, we're going to do 2 double side splits, and then on the count of 8, and everybody around me's like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
I kid you not.
Oh.
Everybody around me is like, mm-hmm. And they're like moving their hands. And I'm like, what? What's happening?
That
okay.
would be frightening.
It was something of a nightmare. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes just to go over it in your head. And then we're going to start. Mm. So the way they had set it up was 2 rows, front row, back row. And then you do the dance again. The back comes to the front.
Mm.
I start off in the back because I'm not crazy, okay? So they start, they do the, I remember the song, move, move, move right out of my life, move it, Dreamgirls, classic.
God, you can sing.
Thanks. Didn't get to that point, but anyways. I'm at the back. And
when they start coming backwards, you have to move forward.
Jamie, I do the routine at the back by myself, right? I'm lost. I'm so lost to the point where there's a spin that they do that I spin into another girl who's auditioning. They stop the audition so we can now swap to go to the back to the front. And the choreographer goes, something happened back there. So do you want to come to the front? You can stay back there. He says it to me. And I was like, mm-hmm, I'll stay back. No, it's fine. I didn't want to go to the front anyway. I'll stay back here. Front's not fun anyway. The back of the stars are. So I'm going to stay here and she can move to the front. That's fine. And they do the audition again. I never heard from them. That casting director, I've had jobs to go in front of her again and I have said no because she absolutely will remember me. It was such a bad audition.
That is fantastic.
It was the worst experience of my life.
You didn't even get to the singing part?
They never called back. They never said, oh, great, now that's happened. Mm. The singing part's going to... No. They said, if you can't dance, there's no part 2.
Oh, my God.
And I just want to, for the record, say I'm a great dancer.
Yeah.
Okay? But we know it's a parle-barré. With a tap. With a tap. I got a tap slab, okay? I'm a great dancer.
I don't even know what a parle-barré is. I would have no idea. Oh my God. So, okay, so you're doing these auditions. You want to be this big star.
Yes.
And it becomes tricky, right? Because it's constant rejection.
Boof, constant.
Boof. How good are you with rejection?
Well, I thought I was good and then started therapy and she was contradicting me. Apparently I'm not great with it, so.
What do they know?
I don't know, you know.
What do they know?
You studied people's brains, get a grip.
Yeah. You don't know me.
Like, at all. At that point, I genuinely thought I was quite good at it.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, you know, I've been rejected, you know, in life. Like, I can handle it. It wasn't necessarily the rejection that got me though. It was depression. So moved back to Coventry, left London. I was like, I don't like this place. I have no money.
Yeah.
London's really expensive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm telling people I'm an actor, but I'm definitely working as a bartender. So this is weird.
So you're having an imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. Yeah. Also, never ask an actor, oh, what can I have seen you in? Fuck off, Janice. Fuck off. I am this close to the edge.
Dreamgirls, right? Dreamgirls. What do you mean? You're in Dreamgirls? Dreamgirls. Do you mean you're in Dreamgirls?
Okay. Off Broadway. So I moved back home and I was like, right, I'm never going to do anything creative again. I mean, I had done like a couple of theatre shows. Let me not like say like my complete acting journey was trash. But like, for the most part, I was not where I wanted to be.
When you got hit with depression, because depression is just, it's a real, it's not fun.
The worst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When that sadness creeps in and you can't get away from it and you don't know what's going
the
on.
The worst.
How did you navigate your way through that?
I think I realized I had, so I have delayed processing first of all, but I also realized I had.
What is delayed processing?
If something happens to me, it takes me a while to understand how I feel about that thing.
Interesting.
I move through life a lot on autopilot.
Yeah. Is that to protect yourself almost at the time? Maybe.
I think so. I think when emotions are involved, I'm very good at compartmentalizing my life. Mm-hmm. And if something is happening, I can like pop it in a box and never look at it again. And, look at it later, but keep like...
Just moving.
So I had what you would call like a high functioning depression. Like I was going to work. I was in the treadmill, but like in the moments where I'm doing nothing, silence, nothing, stillness. But like, I also can't not show up to work because there's a team of people who rely on me and I'm not letting the team down.
Yeah. So you don't want to let anyone else down, no. but to the detriment of yourself.
Yeah.
Cause you would rather put everyone else first.
Everybody else first.
Wow.
So everything was moving along. Like the things that had to be done were done, but anything personal or whatever, it was just like heavy, you know. It's just, it's such a weird space to be in when you technically, you know, you're seeing everywhere that this is like the prime of your life. And you're like, I don't feel like I'm in the prime of anything.
I think so many people will agree with you on that and just, you know, respond to that. It's so true. It happens to so many.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. And 20s suck. Especially your early 20s. You're insecure. You don't really know what's going on. You have this blueprint in life that we're all heading towards.
Yep.
And then the blueprint doesn't quite work out what we think it's going to be working out. And we're failures. And then suddenly we realize that actually not everyone has the answers anyway, and our parents aren't always right.
Yes.
And that's quite scary.
Yeah.
Especially probably coming from a religious background.
Yeah.
Where everything is kind of ordered and
structured,
and this is how you live your life. And then you realize, actually, maybe that's not how we're meant to live our life.
Constant existential crisis.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And you're trying to navigate your way through that, but also, like, pay bills and live.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, the best thing for me to do right now is to move back home to be with my parents, because I can't continue going to work. Like, it got to the point where my functioning depression just wasn't functioning anymore. Like, I can't. My resignation has to come in. I can't keep showing up to work. Like, this is really not good for me. So I was like, well, bye, everyone. And I left London and I moved back home in
with
my
your slab.
Slab on the hand.
You tapped your way all the way back.
Basically. Like Charlie Chaplin. Went all the way home. And I moved back in for my parents, and I would say for those next like 3-4 years were like the best years of self-discovery.
Amazing.
Because I was afforded the grace, which a lot of people unfortunately aren't because of circumstances. So I was very privileged in that sense. But my parents...
You're going to say the greatest thing now, which I think you're going to say.
Oh, no pressure.
No, I think you are going to say something, which is, I totally agree with you about to say, but go.
My parents were able to allow me to just figure it out.
When anyone ever asked me, they always say, okay, you have this privileged background, you must have had these, you know, and I say, that's my parents, not me.
Yeah.
And I always say, the biggest privilege I've had ever is I'm able to discover what I didn't want to do.
Mm.
I didn't have to go and work in the local Sainsbury's to keep the roof over my head. Mm. I didn't have to do these things. I could be with my parents and had a roof and I had food and I was able to understand what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will forever be grateful to my parents for it. And the understanding, I mean, I don't, you know, come from money. My parents aren't like, but my dad made a rule that like, if any of his kids need to come home, they come home, you don't pay bills, you don't pay rent, there's no board. So I got my room back, I was able to redecorate my room.
That's an amazing parent.
Yeah.
I love that.
They were so they were so understanding. And bearing in mind, now I want to add this, my parents are not the type of parents who are like, depression is real. I come from black African Christian parents. They're like, you're sad, pray to God. So there's also that. I just want to make sure they're not angels in this segment, right? They're not, they've got their flaws. Do you know what I mean? But with their flaws, they were still able to be like,
depression,
pray.
Pray.
My mum literally texts me scriptures. Scriptures. I made a video about social anxiety and my mum was like, oh, there's a scripture for that. Said, is there? Send it over here. Could use all the help I can get.
I'll read it.
Yeah. I'll take that. So they have their things, but they were very understanding that, like, what I needed in that moment was protection and security and safety. And they were able to give me that. And no pressure to be like, oh, you're 20 something. You should be da 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 da. There was none of that. So I was able to just figure out myself for a good 4 years. I was hired, fired. I tried jobs. I wanted to be a teacher one day. I wanted to do that one day. And then I realized I'm unhappy because I'm not doing the thing that I love doing, which is entertaining.
Yeah.
And then we ended back here.
And so what was the first video that you did where you put your phone down or camera down and you said, right, here I go. I'm going to start doing something. And did you consciously think, or did you just start putting it out there?
I joined TikTok specifically because of my little sister.
Yes.
We have a 15-year age gap. I have an obsession to be one with the youth. So she told me about this app, and it's pandemic, right at the beginning. And she's like, we can learn dances. That's what it was when I first, we can learn dances together. So all those, like, if you scroll back far enough, you'll see the dances. They're on there. And that was my mission for the day.
Did you all slab there? I can't.
Slabless at the time. I wasn't a professional yet. But I was learning those little dances.
Yeah.
And then the more I'm opinionated. So the more I consume content, the more of an opinion I can form, or the more things I read, the more of an opinion I can form. And it was around the height of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
So a lot of my content was political content skewed in a funny, jesty way.
So people can consume it better.
Consume it better.
Wow, great.
And that's how I started. And there was no like, oh, I want to be a content creator. I think I was just posting because I was like, the world could potentially end. And
this is what I like to do. I just want to do it because I like doing it.
Also, my friend hasn't picked up my FaceTime. Yeah. My mum's told me to get out the kitchen. I'm bored. I'll make a video and see what the comments say. No one I knew followed me.
Wow.
And then before you know it, you start like building a little community of people who are like, oh, I love your take on this. Or that's interesting. Have you looked at this article? And I'm like, oh, like, this is becoming a thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It it's more than a thing though, because you have that, you then go and host a 25 date show in Edinburgh in the Fringe. You've done the TV show with Sky.
Yes.
You know, you're an actor.
Official.
But you got the certificate?
I do.
You have the IMDb?
Yep.
Okay, well, why don't you walk me through it?
I don't have an IMDb. I'm a liar as well as an actor. I mainly did theatre stuff. And I guess the blessing of the job that I do now is I am able to put myself out there without necessarily having to go to auditions all the time. Mm. And one of the people on the Smothered team, which is the TV show that I'm in, were like, oh, we think Sarah would be great because the role I'm playing, it's like a comedy show. And they asked me to come in and audition. Mm. Came in, auditioned, got the part. And it's a 6-part series. It's called Smothered. It's like a rom-com set in London about dating, about like the troubles of dating.
Mm. Did you love shooting it?
I loved every single second of it. Because also we had a really star-studded cast. Like my dad, the person playing my dad is Blair Underwood, who is like...
Huge.
Like huge. And yeah. I was like, I shouldn't be in the same room as you. This is weird. This is
That's
very,
amazing.
Very weird. But everybody was lovely and I learnt a lot. This is the first TV role I've done.
Is it hard? Because I've done a lot of TV, but I've never done really sort of, you know, stand still acting, hit your mark.
Yes.
Act, yeah. Camera right at you.
Yeah.
Is it tricky? Intimidating?
This
not
is,
for professionals.
No, do you know what it is? Yeah. This is
well,
where,
not for me.
This is where my delusion is really great and kicks in. Because
that's
I'm,
when Bedford really kicked in.
Basically. Yeah.
Thank God I went to Bedford.
Got all the training there. really solidified me.
I went to Bedford.
My delusion set in and I think it is hard, but it's not as hard as I was expecting it to be.
Okay, fine.
It was a lot, and I think that's to do with the team and how they did it, but it was just, they were very much like, follow your instincts, do what's natural.
Amazing.
Yes, you have a mark, but when we do the sixth or fourth take, go wherever, go where your heart
and you must, I reckon you would have prepared in terms of lines, you would have, I mean, boom. So you could then become free because you just had it locked in.
Yeah, and they say a good actor doesn't only know their lines, they know everyone else's. And I was doing that thing where I was miming people's lines. And the director was like, stop. I said, I'm so sorry.
You were miming.
People were talking and I'd be like, and then you say that. And it was so weird. And they were like, Sarah, you're doing this thing where... You're talking, and I was like, oh yeah, that thing. I'll stop. No worries. So I had to like drink, so keep myself occupied.
All doing your head.
Yeah.
And you just look at
just like looking at them intensely, like that's not your line. That's not your line.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
I'm sure that means, I mean, other things, right? Just because you started to be yourself.
Be myself.
And it's amazing how slightly the stars align when you start not pretending to be anyone else.
Me and Candice always say on the podcast, how can God give you his blessing if you are pretending to be someone else? He's looking for Sorrel and you're acting like Patricia. The blessing's not for Patricia, it's for Sorrel. And he's like, Sorrel, I've got this blessing for you. I've got this thing that I want to give you. He can't give it to you because you are literally not being your authentic self. And until you start being that, and the thing is, people say that and they make it seem like that's a really easy thing to do. Yeah. It's not. It's one of the hardest things to do ever because you have people who want to thrust their versions of you onto you.
Yeah.
So your parents' version, your friends' version, everybody's kind of got these versions of you that they want you to be. And you have to navigate through that and be unapologetic in that. And then find yourself. And it's not something that happens overnight, which is what your 20s are for.
I want to, you know, make a point that, you know, even though you have unapologetically been yourself, doing what you do and creating content and being a content creator, that has its dark sides.
Jamie.
Here we go.
Jamie.
Here we go.
I think because we lean towards laughter.
Yes.
Even the things you put on your stories when you go to events and then people put in the comment section their thoughts of your outfit and it's like people are unhinged on the internet.
I know.
People are so unhinged.
It's not good.
It's And I think because, I mean, my first thrust into it was social media. It was a little bit different because I kind of knew the world of social media before I started posting. I knew that, like, my favorite content creators, if I scrolled far enough in their comment section, they would be getting hate. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you were sort of aware of it.
So you knew it was there?
Knew it was there. But I want you to know, no one can prepare you for the shit dump. Because God forbid you make a video that offends. Oh my God.
It's really bad.
The incels? Jesus Christ.
And they come thick and fast.
Thick and fast.
They come
and
thick.
Rally the troops.
Yeah. Oh, and the troops don't even know what they're talking about.
Don't know what they're fighting for.
No idea.
They're just like,
but they get on there.
My friend told me that you made a video saying ABCD, so I'm just going to dump in your DMs.
We made a packet of candy cane sweets that some people didn't like, and these people went to town, like honestly to town on me. And then other people jumped on. Some people didn't know what they were fighting at me. Some people thought I was a flat earther. They were getting angry at me because I was a flat earther. And I was like, what the hell? I don't know what's going on here.
Is hilarious.
Yeah, honestly, they just jump on, boom, 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 boom.
Just
but it's
pile on.
It's a little bit scary because
it is.
I imagine you and I, I know I am, a little bit sensitive. And so when it starts, it's slightly gone underneath my skin sometimes.
Yeah.
Does it get underneath your skin a little bit?
The first time, the comments, the DMs, cool. I was kind of like, there's ways of like protecting myself. You know, there's a hidden word here and there. Cool, whatever. The first time Twitter got a hold of a video. I said, Jesus, take me now. I said, I'm ready. My time is now.
I've never had one on Twitter. Is that not a good one? X.
X? Oh my, it's the worst. You can't prepare yourself.
Get out of here. Is it that bad?
It's so bad. And then, don't do it, but if you type your name into the search bar, yeah, it's unhinged. And I think that day was the day when I was like, I don't want to do this job anymore.
Yeah. It forces you that way.
Yeah. You're like, I don't want to do the job anymore. 60 seconds of me talking has riled up people to the point where I'm treated like Vladimir fucking Putin. Are you joking me?
You cannot ever give up. You can't. You cannot. You can't.
Just FYI.
Just FYI, that can't happen.
I mean, it was
and you're
bad.
Not a quitter.
I can't be a
there
quitter.
There you go, you're not a quitter.
I can't be a quitter. So, yeah, that was the hardest. But once you have that, like, terrible one, the rest aren't as bad.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this is the internet.
And that's what it is.
It's so, like you said, people are fighting you for something they don't even know what they're fighting you for.
And there's 7 and a bit billion people in the world. It's a small majority of people. It's tiny wee. Who cares?
And the hate is always louder than the love.
Completely. And also, we don't process good news. That's why, like, we good news actually takes a long time to process because it's kind of like, I don't know why we just don't. Bad news comes thick and fast.
Immediately, oof, yeah.
And you pick it up straight away.
Yeah.
So you don't notice it as much.
It's, yeah. But no, I can't quit. I won't quit.
Can I ask a personal question?
Sure.
What about dating?
What about dating?
Why don't I? It sounds like I'm asking you on a date.
Yeah, you're a married man, Jamie. Oh, God. Also, very assuming of you that I would say yes to a date to you, but anyway.
No,
that's awkward for everyone in the room, isn't it?
Ooh. Are you dating anyone?
I am.
Hello.
I am.
Hello.
I am.
All right.
A nice little gentleman. No, he's like 6'2". But no.
Where did you guys meet?
On a dating app.
That's cool.
On a dating
app. That's cool. You don't sigh. That is cool. I think that's a great way to meet now. I really do.
I sigh because it's unfortunately one of the only ways to meet. And I don't like that prospect.
Yeah, but that's your story and it's unique to you. And that's an amazing thing.
Fairs.
Yeah.
But yes, we met on a dating app. And our story's kind of weird, though, because it wasn't like meet, date, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It was like it didn't even meet. It was like match, global pandemic.
Yeah.
We had each other on socials and we're like talking back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Then meet, then. So Whoa. He kind of knew me
Wait,
before.
Was there some sexy time on back and forward when you were
Jamie, I'm a lady of God. I'm pardon? Oh my God, no. We exchanged Bible verses.
Yeah, there you go.
Favorite passages.
That's exactly what it was.
And hymns.
Yeah.
That's
lovely.
That's what we did.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
That's our love language. So, any more questions?
So then you guys meet up.
We do.
Afterwards. And boyfriend, girlfriend.
Clicked. Wow. Immediately. And it made sense. I mean, we had always been like talking. So I think the thing that I liked the most about him is a huge green flag for me is people who are kind to everyone.
Mm.
I think sometimes we date people who are kind or nice to us because mm-hmm. they're attracted to us, but they're not kind or nice to everyone because there's nothing for them to gain in their kindness. And he isn't that. And immediately was like, oh, okay, that's a huge green flag. But also he had known me before I had a social media presence. We matched before I was making TikTok videos.
Yeah.
And I liked the fact, because I'll be honest.
You feel safer in that.
You feel way safer.
Of course you do.
Dating when you have some form of public image.
It's currency.
It's hard.
And it's also currency for, it is for sure, for whatever reason it is.
It's difficult, and I just didn't want to be in that position where you're like, do I trust them for the right reason? Are they with me for the, you know? Mm. And with him, it was kind of like, okay, no, we were talking well in advance before anything happened and had shown interest. He flew to, you know, Ghana, came back, I wasn't able to see him, and then Pani happened. So all of that kind of stuff happened, and then we finally meet up and it was like, oh, this makes sense. And that's why I'm a big believer in timing, because I also don't think we would have necessarily been together had we met up.
And you believe in marriage and things like that?
I do.
Yeah, so,
I do.
Well, I obviously got married, but some people don't. But I think it's a great thing.
I do. I think marriage is beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. And I mean, obviously as well, like I'm Christian, and like, you know, I come from a Christian background.
Yeah.
There's that element of it. But I think above all else, just committing yourself, regardless of whether it's a courthouse or God or whatever, but committing yourself to someone forever is a very powerful thing.
It's an amazing thing. I was a bit promiscuous in my early days.
Oh,
right.
And don't I know it?
That's good. It sounds like we dated again.
This is getting very weird. Very weird.
Oh, don't I know it? but it was what I realized is having, you know, been with Soph for 5 years now and married and things like that is, firstly, the love and the compassion, all that kind of stuff, and goes back to your sort of points on debating and stuff. When you're with someone who also has different opinions too, which Soph does, you learn and grow together.
Oh,
and if you're by yourself, you don't really learn and grow as much, which I found. And also, you're not distracted. Like when I was dating, 50% of my thoughts were, who am I dating? Who am I messing? What am I doing? We're going out there. All those kind of things.
Yep.
And I thought that was exciting.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens a lot of the time. I think it happens with a lot of guys actually that I speak to who are still single, that they get excitement from that.
Mm.
But actually, once you remove that and sort of settle down and you stop thinking about what else could be and all that kind of stuff and you commit yourself in this loving notion, it's a real amazing moment.
And I think it's also really beautiful to plan.
Yeah.
The future with someone
and
like have these shared goals and dreams.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't know, it's with the work we do, sometimes it can be a bit isolating as well, because you're like, these are my goals, these are my dreams. But when you have somebody who's like, we have a shared goal, we have, like, it's really beautiful to be able to carve that out with someone. But yeah, dating is the pits. I would never go back. So don't fucking disappoint me. To you, my betrothed.
Before you go, I got one more thing. I was looking at your Instagram and I saw one of your reels where you're talking about, on your podcast, which is so funny, talking about bleaching. And I thought it was bleaching bum.
Jamie, you have to give me, you have to, where the fuck was the lube? What the hell? You can't just go into bleaching from... Well,
I saw it and I walked in and I was like...
What the fuck? Idiot.
Is that bleaching... What is it, bleaching... Is it bleaching buttholes? Yeah. Is that what you're not talking about? Okay, sorry. I was like, I don't really get why they're talking about bleaching bumholes.
Oh. And do you know what I love about this moment, Jamie?
Yeah.
Is you couldn't be more white right now. if you tried. This is such a beautiful moment. This is the most, that was the purest thing I've ever heard anyone say. Bumholes? No, Jamie. No. We're talking about the crisis within the black community and the community of colour of people bleaching their skin to assimilate to whiteness, Jamie.
Oh my God.
Assholes.
Oh my God.
I love that. Oh. So that's where your mind went. I'm going to change the caption.
It went up.
It went straight to bleaching.
Straight
so
there.
To Boom. Be fair, we didn't, you know, pre-warn, but that's where your head went.
Just giving you some feedback.
Now I'm intrigued on where you wanted the asshole bleaching conversation
well, I don't know.
To go.
I was confused because I was like confused about the conversation, but now I get it.
Right.
Now what it is.
Right. Because we start off with, if you're going to bleach, do a good job.
Yeah, and I was like, this feels a bit intimate.
I love that so much.
That's what you start off with.
Oh, I love that so much.
God. Your podcast is amazing. A weekly podcast, right?
Weekly.
Where can we listen to it?
It's on all podcast platforms. And it's called Closet Confessions.
So
and
good.
It's with me and Candice. And
maybe I should be a guest.
Oh, my God.
Because maybe I should come on and you can ask me questions and see.
What would your confession be, though? Because you have to bring a confession.
I got loads of confessions. I would like to say sorry to a few people when I was younger. Sorry. Oh. I would like to say sorry to my friend David, when it says David, who I stole his pog when I was a kid. And I want to say sorry to people. Those are my confessions. I stole a lot of things as kids.
Jamie, you're a very sweet soul. Most people go in with like, I hate this. This is my confession. Or like, these are fashion faux pas. And you're like, I want to say sorry to
people. I want to say sorry to people because I stole so many things.
That is so sweet.
So anyway, I think it would be a funny one to do.
I think it would be very funny. Okay. Very, very funny. Candice would absolutely find you one of the most fascinating people to speak to ever. Ever.
Can I just say, I've enjoyed every minute of this.
Same.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much. I just never quit.
Yay, thank you, Jamie.
Your content is insane.
It's that really means a lot.
You know what? It lights up people's lives and we need a lot of that at the moment. It
we
really does.
Do. Thank
so
you.
So it's amazing. Thank you so much for coming on Private Parts.
I really
appreciate it. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-da.
That was...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.